In 1941, a Swiss man, George de Mastral, took a walk in the Alps when he noticed a heap of burrs sticking to his clothing and to his dog's fur. He examined these burrs under a microscope and saw tiny hooks that clung to the loops in his fabric. And so for the next 10 years, he experimented with different things like nylon to try and replicate this hook and loop system. By the 1950s, he perfected his design and patented it as Velcro. Well done. Initially, though, it was seen by many people as a quirky and pretty impractical invention, just a bit of a novelty. But as we've seen over the past 80 so years since then, Velcro has become one of the most versatile and important inventions of our time in ways you might not even realize. So you probably know that it's used in millions of different clothing and shoe products, but it's also used in lots of medical devices. It's used in vehicles and aircraft. It's used by the military. But did you know that Velcro is something that's also been heavily used in space exploration? It's one of these inventions that for a long time people didn't realize its ability to be used widespread. It's really a common occurrence when it comes to inventions in our world. So inventions as common as we have these days, such as the radio, the telephone, cars, airplanes, medical discoveries like penicillin, they were all undervalued or dismissed as fairly impractical when first invented. The computer is another example of this, amazingly. So back in 1943, Thomas Watson was a key figure in the early development of IBM. He thought computers would just be machines to do massive calculations and would therefore only be used by very few people. So this is a quote from him back then. He said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." As we know now, there are billions of personal computers, billions of mobile devices that are computers, and countless other cars, appliances, machinery that are all computerized. Well, just like people in history have minimized, undervalued, or thought too narrowly about many of our world-changing inventions, I think there's a huge danger that we, as God's people, we do the same thing to the Holy Spirit. To the identity, the work of the third person of the Trinity, God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And I've got to be honest, I'm guilty myself of treating the Holy Spirit too much of a narrow and undervalued way myself in the past, where I've held God the Father in such reverence as He deserves, where I've focused my life on God the Son, following Him as He deserves. But when it's come to how I perceive and treat the Holy Spirit, I think it's been far more confusing for me. Has that been the case for anyone else here? So over my life, part of it has been to a variety of different churches and heard a variety of different things. And some churches, I'll be honest, I don't feel mention the Holy Spirit much at all. And look, the lack of focus that we give the Holy Spirit can sometimes simply be because the Holy Spirit Himself is pointing us to Jesus. But I think it can also be a reaction to ways that others possibly we've seen depict the Holy Spirit in ways that we might confuse us, or we might not always agree with. I spent some of my teenage years at a church whose focus was more on the Holy Spirit, but that focus was on things like being slain in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit seemed to be at times kind of narrowly focused on just those types of things like speaking in tongues, prophetic words, healings. So it kind of asks the question, what do we do? When it comes to the Holy Spirit, what do we do? Because we need to be careful not to identify the Holy Spirit in the wrong way. The Bible's very, very clear. The Holy Spirit, first of all, is God. We cannot diminish the Holy Spirit to where we sometimes treat Him as just some type of force or some type of energy or some type of little voice in our heads. No, He is God. The Dutch theologian, I'm sure you've all heard of this guy too, I didn't till this week, Herman Bavinck, said it well like this. He said, "The Holy Spirit is often the forgotten person in the Trinity. Sometimes the Spirit is reduced to little more than the feeling of religion, instead of being confessed as the true God who powerfully applies redemption. So we need to see that the Holy Spirit is our omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. So the Holy Spirit is our all-knowing, our all-present, our all-powerful God. We can't diminish his identity. And at the same time, we must also be careful not to diminish or narrow his role, his work, his power. So we can read even Jesus' words. So John 14:16, Jesus says this. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," another counselor, is another translation, "to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth." So I think we can even read something like that and wrongly kind of diminish it down to the Holy Spirit being this kind of vague counselor, this vague counselor, vague advocate in our head that gives us, might give us a bit of a prompt sometimes, might give us a bit of advice sometimes. Or on the other hand, we can kind of narrowly think that the work of the Holy Spirit is only going to be those kind of external and vividly supernatural displays and signs of power. So not necessarily that the Holy Spirit isn't necessarily going to have much to do with my day-to-day life. J.I. Packer says it like this. He says, "The Spirit's ministry is misunderstood when Christians think of him as a source of extraordinary phenomena rather than as the one who makes Christ known and glorified in ordinary Christian living." So why speak about the Holy Spirit today? I've got to be honest. I'd like to delve into our understanding of the Holy Spirit a lot more, and I'm convinced that we should take a deeper look and understanding in the year to come. But why speak about the Holy Spirit today? When, and I'm sorry if you're visiting today, when we, because we've just started a series. We're just beginning a series on what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus and what it looks like to make disciples of Jesus. So why bring up the Holy Spirit today? I hope you already have some understanding. It's simply because being a disciple of Jesus, so becoming a disciple of Jesus, growing as a disciple of Jesus, even being disciples who go out and make disciples of Jesus, all of that is totally, utterly impossible without the presence, the power, the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot diminish the Holy Spirit down to a vague prompt or voice in our heads once in a while. We also cannot diminish the Holy Spirit down to only external kind of phenomenal signs and wonders. No, the Holy Spirit is present and active in every aspect of our lives, in every aspect of faith, in every aspect of what it means for us to be a disciple of Jesus. So last week, I'm sorry if you weren't here, but last week we saw Jesus' invitation to be his disciple. It was a radical invitation, wasn't it? So it's saying that when we put our trust in him, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, when we realize that we are saved by grace through his death and resurrection, we accept his invitation to follow him. But that new identity that we follow him, we see that Jesus makes clear it's a radical one. It's a new way of life. Because we saw last week, Jesus says what? He says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him." That's a picture of someone who's saved by Jesus, now day in, day out, lives for him, surrendered more and more and more to his will. A disciple is a person who no longer lives, but Christ lives in them. It's a radical invitation to give your life to him day in, day out. And it was a privilege last night to see Cooper make that public declaration in baptism. But the danger is that even last week, you can walk away from that radical call on your life and think, well, that's too hard. Deny yourself, take up my cross daily. No, that's too hard. I can't do that. How can I possibly live that kind of life with Jesus always on center stage, with obedience to Jesus always, his will, his way? I've really got no hope of living like that in response to Jesus. And you know what? If you feel that way, you're actually 100% correct. You can't do it. I can't do it. No one can. If there is anyone here today, please don't jump up if you think this is you. But if there's anyone here today who sees Jesus' call to deny themselves and take up their cross every single day, anyone who sees it and thinks, you know, I can achieve that, no worries, you're having yourself on. The reason, though, that this means we need to speak about the Holy Spirit today, and really we're going to dip our toes in, really, but the reason why any understanding about being a disciple must include the Holy Spirit is because no one can be a disciple of Jesus without the presence, power, and work of the Holy Spirit each and every moment of their lives. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that brings this new identity in Christ, that sustains us in it, that grows this identity in Christ that we have wonderfully received by Christ. So my prayer today is that as we kind of, I'll be honest, it's a bit of a crash course, but as we kind of skim the surface of understanding the Holy Spirit, that it will assure you of your identity in Christ, that it will encourage you and perhaps compel you to continue as a disciple of Jesus, knowing the infinite extent as to which God, as to which the Holy Spirit is with you and working in you as Jesus' disciple. That you will see that the Holy Spirit is not any type of supernatural sideshow, that the Holy Spirit is not any type of vague feeling or force, that the Holy Spirit is not just for some extra spiritual level of Christians, that the Holy Spirit is not just some kind of tool that you can put in your belt and utilize for your own purpose or will. No, 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 quite the opposite. Instead, that you'll see that the Holy Spirit indwells in you and is working out God's will in your life. That it is the Holy Spirit who gives you this life in Christ, sustains you in that. And to kind of skim over the surface today of the Holy Spirit, I'm doing the good old pastor alliteration. I've got four E's. So please, I'm going to go through this very quickly, and I've got some people to help me with some verses in a minute. But please try to absorb and simply rejoice today in the extent to which the Holy Spirit powerfully shapes and transforms your life in Christ. I don't usually, you're here most Sundays, I don't usually like to move around to all different passages in Scripture, focus on one, but I think for us to see the huge extent and power of the Holy Spirit warrants it today. So here we go. First up, first E, we have entrance. The Holy Spirit gives Jesus' disciples entrance into new life, indwelling in believers and assuring them of salvation they have in Christ. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit gives Jesus' disciples entrance into new life, regeneration that's talking about, indwelling in believers, assuring them of salvation they have in Christ. So we see it in John chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. So you see that Jesus teaches that no one can enter the kingdom of God without the work of God, without the work of the Spirit. So in order for us to trust in Jesus, the Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is bringing that new birth, that new life in us, a life that is now a life of faith, a life of relationship and trust in God, a relationship where the Bible tells us that even our prayer, so even our very conversation that we have with God is only made possible through God, through the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Romans 8, 26, 27. Thanks, Neil.
In the same point, the Spirit helps us to know. We cannot know what we do. The Spirit helps us to know.
So you see that it's a life in the Spirit is a life that has the the deep indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And you see that more in how Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 6:19. So as we become disciples of Jesus, what is happening is the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And it's talked about as our mark, marking us as ones who now belong in Christ. So God's work speaks about the Spirit as this seal, this guarantee, this wonderful assurance of our salvation, of our adoption into God's eternal family. And we see that in Romans 8:14-16. The Holy Spirit gives Jesus' disciples entrance into this new life, indwelling in believers, assuring them of salvation. So at the cross, Jesus accomplishes that new life for us. He wins that new life for us. He offers redemption, and the Holy Spirit is applying that redemption to our lives. The Holy Spirit's work of renewal and new birth doesn't stop there, though, does it? So secondly, not only entrance, but we receive in the Holy Spirit edification. Not a word we use, but it was the only one that started with E. So well, here we go. So the Holy Spirit edifies. So what I mean is the Holy Spirit builds up disciples of Jesus by sanctifying them, so by transforming them more and more in Christ-likeness. So last week, we see Jesus' call for his disciples to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him. It's a call for people to leave behind their own old selfish, sinful will and surrender to God. That's the picture of sanctification, of growing more and more in the likeness of Christ, who we know surrendered perfectly to the Father's will. And I think we can all agree, we all know deep down it's not something that we can achieve by our own effort, is it? It's once again the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, edifying us. And we see it here in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Okay, so you see there that it's the Holy Spirit that transforms us more and more in the image of Christ. We can't do it by ourselves. How does the Spirit do this? Well, as we read on in Scripture, we see that the Spirit, first of all, the Spirit convicts us of sin. It helps us to put that sin more and more to death. So we see that in Romans 8:13. Thanks, Aidan. I know you didn't want to do that. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, it says that we're able to put the misdeeds, so put the sin more and more to death. And then what follows? So put sin to death, and this new life in the Holy Spirit, we begin to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, a life that more and more reflects Christ's nature in our day-to-day lives. So we see it in probably one of the most well-known verses about this, Galatians 5:22. So you see there we are now temples of the Holy Spirit with him working in us day by day, bearing his fruits in our lives. So that's edification, making us more and more like Christ, more and more living according to God's will. That is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then thirdly, we're going through this quick, we see that the Holy Spirit is also the one who reveals God's will to us. He reveals God's truth to us. That's the third E for today, enlightenment. The Holy Spirit reveals God's truth to Jesus' disciples, teaching us, guiding us, giving us wisdom and understanding. So for starters, truth revealed to us in Scripture is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1. You see there that it's the Holy Spirit that carries along those who wrote God's truth in the Scriptures. But even more than that, we see that it's the Spirit who then helps us to day-to-day understand God's truth and wisdom. So we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, I know there's a lot of verses, but there's so much in there. Who's next? Fourthly, finally, Holy Spirit empowers Jesus' disciples. So we see the Holy Spirit equips, strengthens, unites Jesus' disciples for Christ's ongoing mission. So I want you to see that the Holy Spirit not only grows us individually in Christ-likeness as Jesus' disciples, but he also empowers us and equips us and indeed unites us together to continue his mission of making disciples. And we see it all through the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives us power to be bold witnesses for Christ. It gives us wisdom and boldness to declare Christ. We see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
And you will receive power, Holy Spirit, and you will be my
So the Holy Spirit then unites us to do that together, boldly to undertake this mission as Christ Church, to live in a real tangible and loving way, united as Christ body together. We see it in Philippians chapter 2. And together as Jesus' disciples, we see that the Holy Spirit, there's so much here, isn't there? Gives us gifts. We're given spiritual gifts. And we see very clearly in Scripture that these spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit, they aren't for the individual, for use, for self-gain, are they? They're always for the building of God's kingdom, for the building of God's people, for the making and growing of disciples. So take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. We're ending with a long one.
There are different kinds, but the same Spirit is doing different kinds of service.
That's kind of the point. To be this morning a bit of a crash course, so to speak, speaking really only the tip of the iceberg as far as scripture is concerned, in the incredible extent, the magnitude of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in the lives of us as Jesus' disciples. And what we see there clearly is we cannot become Christ's disciples without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot learn, we cannot grow as Christ's disciples without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot make disciples for Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one at work in our lives and through our lives to make and grow disciples. So I've thrown all this scripture at you this morning, rather than focusing on one passage like we usually do. Because we need to see, as we move forward as a church, particularly about making disciples and being disciples, we need to see that any discussion of that, so any thought, any desire to be a disciple of Christ, must first of all acknowledge that it can only happen, it can only continue because of God's Spirit working in us. And that is not a working in you, working in us, that just kind of happens once in a while in the life of a disciple. No, the Spirit's work in you is day in, day out. Every moment of your life. I love the way Francis Chan puts it. The Spirit is not just for spiritual moments, whatever they are. He is at work in every part of our lives. Nothing we do in obedience is outside His power and purpose. So do you trust in that? Do you trust in God as He works by His Spirit in you? So do you seek to be Jesus' disciple? Do you seek to grow as His disciple? Do you seek to go out and make disciples with this understanding, with this assurance, with this boldness, with this trust that His Spirit is at work in you and through you? What an amazing thing that is. I mean, if you have any doubt as to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, please be reminded of the passage Liz read out at the beginning. Let me read it out again. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. Hear this for you, for yourself. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And then hear this, the last verse here. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. I mean, think about that for a minute. It's saying there that the same Holy Spirit that in power raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us, now gives life to us. We see it so powerfully, don't we? We see entrance. We see the Holy Spirit has powerfully applied to your life this new birth that Jesus has brought you. The Spirit indwells in you, marking you as God's child, as Jesus' disciple. We see edification, that the Holy Spirit is powerfully, day by day, renewing you and building you up in holiness to be more and more like Jesus. Enlightenment, the Holy Spirit is powerfully revealing God's truth to you day by day, guiding you day by day, giving you wisdom day by day to live for Him. And empowerment, the Holy Spirit is powerfully equipping you, uniting you with other disciples to be a bold and loving witness for Christ. I hope you see here, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in your life to give you a life of inaction, or a life of comfort, or a life of timidity, but a life that denies yourself, a life that takes up your cross daily, a life that boldly follows Jesus, giving Him all glory and praise. As we're about to sing, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.